There was one announcement, and I remembered just before Bruce prayed that our Bible study has changed from Thursday night to Wednesday night. So don't, if you're thinking, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind going to the Thursday night group, don't go anymore. Come to the Wednesday night group instead. It's the same group, but we've had to just change the day. But I forgot to change in the bulletin, so just so you know that. And now I've got my first question to open. Have you ever forgotten anything? Sorry. That's really... Well, it's a silly question, isn't it? Yeah, it's a silly question, isn't it? Because all of us have forgotten something, haven't we? We've all forgotten something. Some of us are worse than others, but all of us have forgotten something at some time. We'll say we'll do something, we'll say we'll change the date in the bulletin, and we forget. We say we'll call someone, and we forget. And yet again and again, and we just forget all the time. Now, it seems that God knew this about humanity. He knew how weak and fickle we all are, that we're going to let one another down, that we're going to cause pain for each other. The story of the Bible in many ways is a story about how humanity has failed God. They've failed to remember him. They've failed to live for him. They've failed to live in such a way that says, yeah, we love you, Lord. We love you. Now, as a church, we want to continue reminding ourselves that we do love God. We do this in a few ways, but one way you can see is on the front of your bulletins today. You can have a look at it. It says, love for God, right on the front there. And near the bottom of that paragraph, it says, we do this, and it's talking about encouraging us to read the Word, read the Bible. We do this on purpose because we want you to grow in your knowledge of God, which will lead to greater love for God. So we don't want to forget who God is and that you continue to worship God with your whole life. Now today, we're starting a new series. We're looking at the book of Judges. We've been going slowly through the Old Testament over the past few years, as Matt pointed out for us. And this is the next book. And to be honest, it's a book with a very bleak outcome. We could easily skip it and we'd be content. Let me tell you, we'd be very content. Because the book starts off bad and just gets worse and worse and worse. Israel, we end the book in the very last verse of the Bible, of Judges, with the people doing, or Israel doing what was right in their own eyes. Now, as we begin this book, I thought it would be helpful for us to do a quick look at where this book fits into the history of Israel. And, well, Fiona's given us a very good picture of the whole of the Old Testament. I want to focus in just a little bit before Judges. We'll look at where God's people are right now, according to the beginning of this book, and then I'll explain a cycle that we're going to see throughout the book of Judges. And then we're going to look at one of those judges, Othniel, to finish for today. So those three things are in the outline of your bulletin. So have that open in front of you. There's some blank spaces for you to fill in. There's some images to help as well. And of course, make sure you have a Bible open in front of you as well. It's going to help today. It always helps. So how do we get here? So Israel, as you remember, were slaves in Egypt, and God took them out of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. Now that one sentence that I've just told you, I'll repeat it, Israel were slaves in Egypt and God took them out of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. That one sentence covers the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and then we come to Judges, our book we're looking at today. Now, we've looked at most of these books and have followed the path of Israel for quite a while. We've seen their disobedience. We've seen their rejection of God. And as we look at the story unfold, it's shown us that God can be trusted, that he is faithful to his word. We've seen that again and again. Along the way, we've seen how holy God is And we've seen that he demands for his people to be holy as well. And then we come to Judges. Now, if you followed along in the story, we've seen a generation wiped out before they've come into the land. And then Joshua comes into the land. And then you would expect that Judges would be this book of celebration. A book where they're in the land, they're God's people, living as God would have them. But unfortunately, what we see is a book that is filled with disappointment. 300 years of failure. That's what this book covers. Now, to understand this failure, we need to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. If you've got a Pew Bible, it's on page 186. I'm going to actually put this on the slides as well. Reuben's going to help me. And I'll read these six verses from Deuteronomy 7, verse 1. It tells us what the Israelites were to do with the inhabitants of the land that they were to possess. Deuteronomy is a sermon from Moses to the people just before they entered the land. And Moses says this. I'll let you change the slide accordingly, Reuben. I'll read verses 1 to 6. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and will quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their Asherah poles and burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Now this is what Moses told the people before they went into the land. It was very clear, get rid of things that are going to take you away from the Lord. In the book of Joshua, the people took the land and they started the work of cleansing the land. But as we head into Judges, there's an expectation that this would continue. But what we see is a failure of Israel to cleanse the land. So now turn back to Judges, page 242. And in Judges 1:1-26, we read about the conquest of the Canaanites. The men of Judah get rid of them. But then look at verse 27 on page 243, if you've got that open. Verse 27, look at how the people get rid of these other nations. It says, but Manasseh did not drive out the people of Beth Shan, or Taanach, or Dor, or Eblim, or Megiddo, and their surrounding settlements, for the Canaanites were determined to live in that land. Now look at verse 29. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites living in Gezer, but the Canaanites continued to live there among them. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the Canaanites living in Kitron or Nahalol, who remained among them, but they did subject them to forced labour. Verse 31, nor did Asher drive out those living in Acho or Sidon or Arlab or Aksib or Helbar or Aphek or Rehob. And because of this, the people of Asher lived among the Canaanite inhabitants of the land. Look at verse 33. Neither did Naphtali drive out those living in Beth Shemesh or Beth Anath. What were they told in Deuteronomy? Drive them out. What did they do? They left them there. They failed to drive them out. Now, God knew that if they failed to drive them out, it would cause them to turn away from the Lord their God. So instead of getting rid of them, what do we read about in Judges? Judges 3, 5 and 6. It says there, the Israelites lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. The exact opposite of what Moses had warned them to do, not to do. God told them everything they needed to do in order to worship him, the one true living God, but they forgot and they ignored God's instructions. Now we're similar, aren't we? Where we put things in our lives that will take us away from serving the one true living God. We fail to protect ourselves. Now this idea is often referred to today as idolatry. We take something good and we turn it into something great for ourselves, and sometimes these good things take us away from God. They take us away from church. They take us away from one another. When in fact we need to remind one another to turn to God, to join God's people here together and to love and care for one another regularly. And it's a good reminder, isn't it? What might hinder you from giving yourself to God and his mission for this world? And we need to consider this carefully. Don't fill your life with things that take you away from the mission God has given to you. But fill your life with things that give you joy in the Lord. Turn to his word. Turn to his people. Turn to serve the Lord here at church. Turn to those around you and encourage them. Meet with them. Pray with them. They're all things that will help us look to the Lord and remember what he has done for you. Now, the problem for the Israelites is that they kept on forgetting that the Lord their God has rescued them, that he's the one who continues to be gracious with them, and he's the one who loves them. And really, this is what the message of Judges is all about. Are people who are rescued but fail again to remember the rescue they received from the Lord. And they keep getting taken in by these foreign gods and foreign women, and as time goes on, things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. You'll see on the title there in your bulletin, so Judges, it's about the faithful God in an unfaithful age. And that's why having a brief look at the cycle that runs through Judges is going to be helpful. So what is this cycle? To help, I've put an image in your bulletins so you can take it home with you. We've got on the screen as well. The cycle starts with some form of sin. There's judgment from God in some form of oppression. We see people repent of their unfaithfulness, and there is some form of deliverance, which is followed by a time of peace. Where the cycle appears is in the middle of Judges. In chapters 3 to 16, we see 12 different judges over a period of 300 years. And this cycle applies to 6 of those judges. So it's not all of them, but it's most of them. And what we'll find as we go through Judges is that each judge is slightly worse than the one before. we're going to look at Othniel in a moment. In chapters 1 to 3, Othniel's a good judge. He's got good descendancy, if you look at chapter 1. But as time goes on, we come to Gideon, who keeps testing the Lord. We come to Samson, you know, these guys. He seeks after foreign women. What we see as we go through Judges is the good, the bad, and the ugly of Judges, and it is in that order, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then the book finishes with what we've seen already, with God's people not living how he would have them live. Judges 21:25, the last verse says, "In those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit." No one's asking God what they ought and ought not to do, but they did what was right in their own eyes. And it's a good reminder to us, isn't it? Because we're at risk of this too, aren't we? We're at risk of saying, "I decide what's right for me. I decide what I'm going to do, and I'm going to live the way I want to live my life." But the message of Judges is, look at what God has done for you and live your life in response to his grace and mercy for you. And that means that our lives will be filled with grace and mercy for one another. for his church will have lives that reflect the love of God for you. The message is, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Don't forget. Don't forget. Well, so now that we've worked out what this cycle is and we've had some introduction to the book of Judges, it's now time to have a look at Othniel and see this cycle in action. The image at the bottom there, I've put some little spaces for you to fill in the different verses. This is a really good and easy one. There's not a lot we can say about it because there's not a lot of information there. But it neatly fits into these five verses. And the first thing we see is their sin. It's the first step in the cycle. And you might want to write down in that space Joshua 3 verse 7. What was their sin? Well, verse 7 says, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. Now, from what we've seen already, Joshua brought them into the land. They've seen how great a miracle it is that God has been on their side, yet they've forgotten the Lord their God. Not only forgotten God, but they also did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, forgetting may not sound evil, but as you look at the end of verse 7, it says that they were worshipping other gods, the Baals, the Asherahs. These are false gods, gods of other nations that aren't the true and living God. These are gods that they were told to destroy. They're man-made gods. But what have they done? The Israelites have turned to serve them, and that's their sin. That brings us to the second step, oppression. And right down in here we see it's Joshua 3 verse 8. What oppression comes to the people? And we see that in verse 8. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. Their sin caused them to become slaves. Later on in the history of Israel, Fiona did a great job. She put Jeremiah there. God sends the people into exile. That's at the time of Jeremiah. This is an exile. But they're being sent into slavery to another nation, not just for a bit of time out, but this is 8 years of oppression. And during those 8 years, they serve a foreign nation. Now, we don't know much about these people that they get sent to. It could be a synonym for a Canaanite leader. It could be a nation far north of Israel. We really don't know where they're sent. But it's clear that their sin sent them to be slaves to those who were outside of Israel, to those who were not God's chosen people. So what do the Israelites do? Well, we're heading to the third part of the cycle now, to repentance. And here we can write down Joshua 3 verse 9. And verse 9 says, but when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. Now, you should know who Caleb is. I won't go into too much detail about that. But Caleb's an important figure I will tell you a little bit. He went into the land and said at the beginning of their 40 years in the desert and said, we should take the land. Okay, so that's Caleb. And he managed to be able to come into the land. He's one of a few people who is in the land. And here Othniel is a relative of Caleb's. He's related to Caleb, so that's why he's there. Now, here we see in the first part of verse 9, the word repent is not there. Rather, we see there's a calling out to God. They clearly recognise their oppression and need help, so they cry out to God. And I guess it is a type of repentance, because here in verse 7 we saw that they'd forgotten the Lord. But here we see that their repentance is an act of remembering the Lord. They cried out to the Lord. They weren't crying out to the Lord before, and now they've repented and have started crying out to them. And so that's their act of repentance. Which then pushes us to the fourth point, deliverance. And you might want to put in there Joshua 3 verse 10. And verse 10 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, that's Othniel, so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. Here we see the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel. He needs supernatural help. This is a God with him. And with God's help, Othniel went to war with their oppressors. The king's given over to him. And so we need to read that this is by supernatural means, Othniel leads Israel to victory and overcame their oppressors. This is God's victory, isn't it? God delivered them through the judge Othniel. God is completely involved all the time. And that takes us to the last point in the cycle, point five, where we see that peace comes to Israel, and we see you can put Joshua 3:11 in there, and I'll read verse 11. So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. There's restoration of a nation that had forgotten the Lord and worshipped other gods, and here we see that the restoration brings with it a time of peace. And now this is the cycle that we'll see time and again as we go through the book of Judges. But the sad thing about Judges, which I've already mentioned, is that it doesn't get any better than this. In fact, this is as good as it gets. The cycle throughout Judges, it's not just a cycle, it's a spiral. It spirals down. That's why there's a spiral there. It keeps going down and getting worse and worse. The wickedness is greater. The rebellion is terrible. And like I've already mentioned, the final verse of the book says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Now, the beginning of Judges starts with instructions for how to live as God's people in God's place under God's rule. He's told them how to live. But this cycle of sin, oppression, repentance, deliverance, and peace shows us that although the ideal of living as God's people in God's place under God's rule is a far cry from what this nation is able to achieve on their own. Now, as we go through Judges, it's going to take some time to work out how to apply this to our lives. And it's going to be helpful to realize that Judges, although it's called Judges, is not a book about those judges, but it's a book about God. It's about his demand for holiness. It's about his people living wholeheartedly for him. Yet even when they have peace for 40 years and things are good, if you turn to Judges 3 verse 12, what does it say? This is the next verse after we read that they had peace. It says there, once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and because they did evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel. Once again, they've been put into this cycle of sin and oppression, repentance and deliverance and peace. We're introduced to new judges, and again there's deliverance, and again there's peace. But this is a book about God. It's a book about his holiness, about his demand for his people to have a clean heart. See, this has been God's desire since Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden. That was the very left-hand T-shirt. To bring people back to himself, to create a holy people for himself. And really what we should be reading about his judges is the celebration of a nation that has entered the promised land, a people who have been taken from being slaves and are now living out the blessing that it is to be God's people in God's place under God's rule. But Israel have failed. They failed to remove the other nations. They failed and gave their sons and daughters in marriage to those around them. They failed to remember the Lord their God. They failed so many things. And I think you and I can relate. We all know what it's like to fail, to not live up to expectations. It doesn't matter who you're trying to live up to. At some point, you will fail. You'll always fail at some point. And that's why the book of Judges is such a good book for us. Because if you are God's person, and if you trust in the Lord Jesus, then you know that you're not good enough. You know that you need a Saviour to pay for your sin. You know that without a Saviour who can pay for your sin, you are never going to live up to who God wants you to be. And that's the reminder we get from Judges. See, Judges points out our need for a king. See, in Judges 21:25, that last verse of the book, it starts by saying, in those days, Israel had no king. But they needed an amazing king, didn't they? Not just any king, not a human king, but a heavenly king, King Jesus. A king who died and rose so that their sins, their rebellion, would be forever paid for. So as we embark on this cycle, that spirals down and just gets worse and worse and worse, what we need to see is that none of us are able to please God on our own. We need the blood of Jesus to wash over all our sins. And only as he washes us with his blood are we free and able to enter his rest or his peace for an eternity. And that's what this book will call us to repentance. Yes, an initial repentance and turning to God, but also an ongoing repentance, realizing that not one of us lives up to God's standards, but we need to trust that Jesus' standard for us is enough. And that means we'll get to be with him forever. And this means that we can be gracious with each other. I can stand with you because I know that the blood of Jesus has washed you clean. And you can stand with me because you know that the blood of Jesus has washed me clean. And so we don't judge each other. We spur one another on. We care for one another in trials and temptations. Because we know that the blood of Jesus has washed us clean. So do you stand forgiven by the blood of Jesus? That's what Judges will push us to again and again. Push us to trust in the one who can forgive our sins and show us how to live for him. And how to love God. And how to love one another. See, life falls apart if we fail to worship the one we were made to worship. Life falls apart if we fail to worship the one we were made to worship. So worship him. Worship the one you were made to worship. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the book of Judges. May it be the reminder that we need to depend on you. Lord, some of us are no doubt struggling with what it means to know you, with what it means to live for you, with what it means to love you. Lord, we ask that you give us hearts for you, to remember the work of Jesus. May we trust in your ability to bring us life, and may you show us our need of you. Lord, help each one of us to remember who you are. Give us hearts for you. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.